Today the topic is joy. We're continuing in our series toward Pentecost in the fruit of the Spirit. Last couple of weeks we did love last week, and now we're looking at joy. And that is a hallmark of the believer. Would you agree with that? Joy is the hallmark of the Christian. And why is that? Because Jesus Christ lives within us by His Holy Spirit. He has given us His joy. And as the Scripture says, the joy of the Lord is my strength indeed. In Jesus' farewell discourse that the disciple John, the Apostle John, recorded in beginning in John 13, after 3 years of ministry, Jesus is giving His farewell message to His disciples. He's kind of talked about these things for 3 years, and now He's highlighting them and underscoring them. And He says something that's very interesting as it relates to fruit bearing. He said, I am the vine. Stay connected to me and you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can bear no fruit. You can do nothing. Last week I talked about the idea of the grapes, the cluster of grapes, as being an organic unity, and yet each and every one of the grapes is an individual fruit, just like the fruit of the Spirit. But it is a cluster. It is a package deal, if you will. It is the character of Jesus Christ that is born out in us by His Holy Spirit. Again, Jesus reminds us that the only way that we can bear these grapes, if you will, this fruit of the Spirit, is to stay connected to the vine. Jesus is the vine. And then He says something that's so beautiful and profound. He says in that chapter in John 15, these things I have spoken unto you, that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be full. Jesus is inviting us into the fullness of His joy. Let's stand as we read that text from John 15. Beginning in verse 1, I am the true vine, says Jesus, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, He takes away. And every branch that does bear fruit, He prunes, that it may bear more fruit. Already you are clean because of the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself, unless it abides in the vine, neither can you, unless you abide in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. Whoever abides in me, and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers. And the branches are gathered, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you may bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be full. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Please be seated. As I've mentioned, joy has been called the birthright of every believer, and justly so. Our new life in Jesus Christ, this new life that we have in the Spirit, reflects the very character of God, and joy overflows from the Godhead. Imagine this, if you can, which is mind-blowing for 3 pounds of gray matter and white matter. But the God of the universe, the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, are rejoicing in their love for one another. They are delighting in each other. Three in one, one in three. This is a mystery, but it is the mystery of the relationship of the triune God. and the love overflows, and the delight and the joy overflow as well. This is the character of our God, and it has poured out in a manifestation of creation. Jesus Christ, the wisdom of God, delighting in God from the first and creating and speaking forth this world and all of the worlds, this entire universe. It is absolutely mind-boggling. The love and the joy that exists in the Trinity. And we who are born anew by the Holy Spirit enter into this. First of all, we're created in the image of God. So there is that sense of reflecting the image of God. We're able to love, as we talked about last week. But we're also able to experience this incredible and deep joy. And it is because of what God has done in our hearts by His Spirit that we bear this family resemblance. You have kids, people say, oh, he favors your side of the family. He looks like you. He has your temperament. He has your kind of personality, or your nose, or your eyes. We also are born as children of God, and so we bear a family resemblance. There is that love, and there is that joy. My brothers and sisters, it is part of our DNA to experience the joy of the Lord. Now, joy and happiness are two different things. Would you agree? Joy and happiness are two different things. They do reflect similar feelings, but the source is different. Happiness depends on happenings. Happiness depends on happenstance. We feel glad or we feel happy when things are going our way. Happiness is an emotion that fluctuates, however, with how things are going in our life. So you get a promotion in your job that you've been looking for, and guess what? You feel happy. Or you ask that girl out on that date, and she says yes, and you're happy. Or the stock market is surging, and your investments are doing fine, and you feel happy, of course. But when things are not going well, then you become patently unhappy. Because happiness depends on happenstance and happenings. But joy, in contrast, does not depend on our circumstances. Joy is the reality that we have of the new life in Christ, which wells up deep within us. Because everything is dependent on Him and not on our circumstances or not on us. You see, the source of our joy is dependent upon God. The source of our happiness can be dependent on our circumstances. There's a profound difference in the source of that. Jesus said, "As the Father loves me, so I have loved you." That is an objective reality which has become subjective for us. Because, Christian, know and believe this. You and I are loved by God in Jesus Christ. It's a fact. It's a reality. Jesus spoke of it as truth. "These things I have spoken to you. I've told you the truth. This is the way it is." And now we must believe. We are called to believe. Does that truth bring joy to your heart, my brothers and sisters, that God loves you? Does it bring joy? I hope and pray that it does. And because He has adopted us as His children, we know that nothing can separate us from the love of God. So our joy is rooted in the reality that God loves us, and our joy is also rooted in the reality that we are adopted as His children, and that nothing can separate us from the love of God. None of our happenstance, none of our circumstances are able to take away our joy in that sense, because it is rooted in the reality that we are adopted children of God, and nothing can separate us from the love of God. Paul says, and here's a man who experienced a lot of suffering in his life, persecution, beatings, imprisonment. He says there in verse 35 of Romans 8, What shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? No, for in all things we are more than conquerors through Him who has, what? Loved us. So our joy is not dependent on our circumstances, but it is dependent on the reality that we are adopted children of God. And because we have salvation in Jesus Christ and the promise of heaven, which we have sung of here today, looking forward to that glorious day, my brothers and sisters, we know the end of the story. Isn't it great when you know the end of the story? It's all going to work out. It's kind of scary when you're going through it, but we know the end of the story. Jesus said, in this world you will have what? Tribulation. But be of good cheer. Be joyful. Why? Because I have overcome the world. This is the truth. It reminds me of a song, a hymn that was penned 500 years ago by Martin Luther. And though this world with devils filled should threaten to undo us, we will not fear, for God has willed His truth to triumph through us. You see that? Whatever's happening, the happenstance of our life, the circumstances, persecution, though this world be filled with devils that are trying to trip us up and destroy us indeed, God's truth will triumph in us and through us. That's the end of the story. We know that. Jesus has spoken that into our hearts. Be of good cheer. Be joyful. Be filled with joy. Be glad, for I have overcome the world. Okay, you say to me, that's all fine and dandy, Pastor. Sounds great. This is all well and good. But I am struggling in being a joyful Christian. Is there something wrong with me, Pastor? Well, maybe there is and maybe there isn't. If you're not experiencing joy in your Christian walk, there may be a good reason for that. Let's go through several. In Galatians 5, where we read this list of, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control, he writes, and those who belong to Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and its desires, so if we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Oh, Paul, that sounded so good, what you first wrote. The fruit of the Spirit is love and joy and peace and patience. Why did you have to go and ruin it by adding this whole piece about, yeah, if you're a Christian, you're going to crucify, you're going to die to the passions of the flesh and evil desires. And he says, and only keep this in mind, keep in step with the Spirit. So he's making a connection between bearing the fruit of the Spirit in our lives and keeping in step with the Spirit. That right there then can become a diagnostic for our own lives. A diagnostic. Now recently I had some car trouble, so I went to a mechanic. And if you've ever had car trouble, and if you've ever had a good mechanic, he runs through some diagnostics. Why is your car not running well? Why is your car dead? He's running through some diagnostics, seeing what the source of the problem may be. In a similar way, when we are not experiencing joy in our Christian walk, we might ask the question, the challenge of our scripture reading today, am I abiding in Christ? Or to put it another way, where am I not abiding in Christ? Where am I not keeping in step with the Spirit? Listen, if I'm walking in sin, knowingly and rebelliously, then am I not quenching the Spirit in my life? I'm certainly not keeping in step with the Spirit when I'm doing that. And it naturally follows that there will be a loss of joy when I am not in step with the Spirit. In verse 10 of the scripture that we read today, Jesus said, if you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love. Paul says it in a little of a different way in Romans 14, verse 17. And he's making an argument there for people in the church who are saying, let's just live it up. We're free as Christians. We have incredible freedom and liberty in Christ. We can do whatever we want. Yeah, we can even sin, because isn't it God's business to forgive? Let sin abound so that what would abound? Grace. Hey, we're giving God a break here, right? We sin, he pours out his grace, it's all good. And then you had other people in the church who were saying, oh no, Jesus said you have to follow these commandments. And there's tons of commandments. And then, you know, none of these have been abrogated from the Old Testament, so we have to do all of those. So you see the tension in the church at that time? You have this group of people, this faction of people talking about liberty and even license to just do whatever. And then you have on this other side the law. And we got to just, you know, like hunker down and we've got to do all these things according to the law. So he's saying to the church then and to us today, he says, listen, the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking. He says, it is a matter of righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. If we're getting our focus on the wrong things, we may be missing the important parts of the kingdom. And specifically, Paul is saying, joy in the Holy Spirit. Take a moment right now and ponder this. Ask the Holy Spirit, where am I wantonly taking liberties in my Christian walk and thereby sinning? Where am I not believing the gospel? Lord, where am I carrying a burden of sin, a burden of guilt, a burden of shame that you want me to repent of? Ask God to renew your joy as you keep in step with the Spirit. Now, maybe you keep short accounts. When you sin, you confess it right away. Or you come to the end of the day and you pray and the Holy Spirit reveals something to you and you confess it. So you're saying to me, Pastor, as far as I know, in my conscience, I am not willingly sinning, but I still lack joy. Well, on this other side of license and law, is it possible that you're trying too hard? There are certain personality types, maybe even one or two here in this church, who say, just tell me what I need to do. Give me the list. I'll knock it out. Out of the park, if you want. Just tell me what the list is. That's what I need to know. Just give me the list. Wow. Okay. You know what that reminds me of? Reminds me of something I'm reading in this book by Eric Metaxas. It's Martin Luther. Martin Luther was that kind of guy. Just give me the list. Man, his list was so long. If you know anything about his life, it was crazy. And he was confessing of just all sorts of things. He obsessed about his sins. The minutest perception of slip-ups would haunt him. He believed that it was up to him to be perfect. After all, didn't the church and Holy Scripture say, be ye perfect even as I am perfect? Be ye perfect even as I am perfect. It's right there in the Bible. I want to read something to you out of this. Luther would endeavor with all of his considerable might to achieve salvation. He would follow as best as he could all of the prescribed rules, neglecting neither jot nor tittle, and he would fail. He It would climb the Tower of Babel toward the blue vault of the heavens, aching to touch it with his hand, and then and when he had reached the top, exhausted from his efforts, he would see that it was every bit as far from him as it was before that he had even begun. And he would then realize that either there was no way for man to touch God, or there must be another way than the one that he had been following. And indeed, his eyes were opened and his heart busted wide open when he read in Romans, "The just shall live by faith." The ones that are justified are trusting in the perfection of Jesus. That's the gospel. Trusting in what he has done for us and not what we are trying to do in and of ourselves. Take a moment right now and ponder this. Are you believing the gospel that Jesus has paid it all? Or do you believe in some sort of twisted gospel, the do more and try harder religion that we see so much around us that seeks to please God? Believe the gospel. Believe the truth. Because if we are trying to pull ourselves up by our bootstraps, we, like Martin Luther, will never experience true joy. Because only in realizing what Jesus has done for us, that he imparts to us his joy, and that we live in the reality of that joy. Okay, so we've looked at two diagnostics. Let's look at a third. You may say to me, I'm not walking in willful rebellion right now. I'm not walking in unbelief of the gospel. But you say, I'm still not experiencing a joyful Christian life. I'm not experiencing a consistent joy that flows from deep within. What if my life is just pulling me down? How is it even humanly possible, Pastor, for you to say to me that I have to have a glad heart in the midst of my depression, in the midst of my suffering, in the midst of my pain? I can't even look you in the eyes because I don't have any easy answers for you. But I want to encourage you and to remind you through prayer, through God's word, by the witness of his Holy Spirit in your life and the fellowship of God's people here in this place. These words of Paul, where he said, "May the God of all hope fill you with joy and with peace in believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit you may abound in hope." To all of us who struggle with being joyful in the midst of sorrow, let us rest in the hope that God is working all things for his glory and for our good. And let Providence Church be a church that lives and breathes the joy of the Lord. And may we encourage one another by speaking faith and hope and love into each other's hearts as we reflect Jesus, as we reflect the reality of Jesus who lives in us, who is the true joy giver. Amen.